Hi and welcome. We still take a little moment for everybody to join. Let's go.
Natalie, shall we wait a few more minutes?
Well, we can, but I don't see the numbers rising. So maybe we will still have much more people who will be watching the recording.
Yes, I would just like to wait a few more minutes.
Of course.
Usually people are a bit late. Okay, we see numbers are growing very fast. So, welcome to everyone. And while we can wait one more minute, I suggest maybe to write in the chat box from which company are you joining us from or from which country. Depends on what you prefer at this given time after lunch. Myself, I'm based in London. Nadia, where are you based?
Physically now in Abu Dhabi.
Amazing. Ankit, where are you based?
I'm based in Mumbai, India, right now.
Amazing. I see in the chat a few people from UK, Dubai, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany. So we have a diverse team. Welcome once again, and thank you for being on time. Amazing. Okay, team, shall we slowly start as we have a really, really extensive agenda today, and we would love to speak to you more in depth. So for those that they are joining, I'm sure they will be able to catch up. My name is Arta, and today I will be the moderator and the panelist at the same time. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Ankit, can you please go on the next slide? So before you start, I would really ask you to please activate your audio settings into listen-only mode to engage with us. So if you have Q&A, if you have questions, please submit them into the chat bot. So that we can easily track Q&A. This will make our life easier and your questions will be addressed. This session will be recorded. Natalie, please confirm now that the recording is on.
The recording is on.
Thank you. And of course, you can share the insights from the webinar itself and the session through the screenshots on social media and everywhere else. Next. So before we start, we would just like to draw your attention to our antitrust statement. It is the policy that our lead network Europe has to strictly comply with all the applicable antitrust laws, as we do have companies from, as we have employees from competing companies participating in today's webinar, we must ensure that we avoid any prohibited topics or share any confidential information. So please take a moment to read the statement for 1 minute. And when you do, we are happily moving to the next introduction of our team here and moving to the topic. So we'll just take 1 minute to read the antitrust guidelines. Okay, we can move on to the next slide, where I would like to introduce our brilliant speakers. With us, we have Nadia Harris. She's the founder of Remote Work Advocates. And also, next to that role, she's head of HR at Receive. Together with Nadia, we have Ankit Solanki. He's from India, and he is not only head of organic growth at NVIDIA AI, but also a tech investor. And last but not least, this is myself. You can recognize me from Lead Network, where I'm part of the Next Gen team, and I lead the education stream for AI and future of work. And some of you have probably worked with me in a corporate environment on the strategy and AI work streams. So what are we going to cover today? We are going to go through three main things. One is strategic AI skills and why do we actually need to have them in the first place? We will continue with the functional AI skills to make it more tangible. How does it look when we define the strategy and then we specify, right, we want to now invest in marketing and AI, what we can do about it and what are the examples? And number three, regardless of the strategy and the functional department, how do we actually change the workplace and the organization, people's mindset and the approach towards the AI? So starting with the first part of the strategic AI skills that I will be covering, I often get the question of Arta, why do we even need AI strategy if we are not a tech company, if we are not building a unicorn, if we are not going in that direction? So if you asked me a couple of years ago, I would say that's a valid question, but as the AI technology wasn't so advanced, but in today's world where we have technology that is able to think, do, and perform the tasks better than people all over the world, then the question is not about why, but how can we do it? Ankit, next slide. So, and then when we start speaking about AI, we have very much two groups of people, those who are ultra skeptic and paranoid and think this is all about robots. And then we have those that started from early days of Netflix and Siri and Cortana and starting automating all of the things because it makes their life easier. Next slide. So, how is the situation today? Why do we actually need to pay more attention rather than before? So top seven companies in the world are right now dictating the future of majority of the companies in Fortune 500s. And not only them, but the full landscape from startups, NGOs, and so forth. Even though they have been on top in worldwide when it comes to technology, whatever they came up before did not go into the space of education or space of retail and commerce and so forth. Perhaps some of their technology have been helpful in channel strategies and adapting new ways of working. However, we were not forced to use it. A simple example is Metaverse. So when Meta came up with it, it wasn't that it will completely change our lives. Perhaps you still have a choice. Would you like to opt in or opt out? But right now with artificial intelligence, what we see is that you actually don't have a choice because 90% of people are starting to use the tools that are making them more productive, faster, and more efficient. If you don't use them in any segment, regardless if you're in a tech department, then there is a high possibility that you are not any more competitive, even after 30 years of your experience. One aspect which actually changed this landscape and what AI startups have done super, super smart is they realized we cannot compete with these big guys in the technologies that are dominant. And these technologies have been separated from different industries. So why not we take AI and make it applicable in all the spheres of life, from learning to working to basic living, as the usual technology companies are always focused on more complicated and logical side. So in that sense, we can move on to the next slide, Ankit. They have come up with technologies that are performing all the human tasks autonomously 24/7, from thinking, writing, logical calculations, creativity, art, communication, all the possible activities. And the impact right now is predicted that it's much bigger than internet. Because with internet, we had the technology that we can control. But now with AI, it is a type of technology that learns from itself. And it only can get bigger and better rather than someone shutting it down. You can go to the next slide. So what does that mean for us? Wherever we are, in which type of organization, whether we are in corporate, in startup, in NGO, or education, well, there are the benefits and the drawbacks. The benefits are obvious. Those that are embracing the AI based on McKinsey research, Goldman Sachs, PwC, and the main consulting groups that are writing about it, it is obvious that it is increasing productivity, profitability, sales, supply chain efficiency, customer acquisition costs and operational costs. But on the other hand, what we are not seeing is the silent drawbacks, which is job polarization. We have people who are either super quick to upskill in AI and people who will have difficulty of adopting it. We have predicted 300 to 400 million job losses. What we are facing is ultimate fragmentation, where lots of companies now in FMCG space, especially and in retail, can actually come up with the products and launch them within the next couple of days. While in corporate world, it takes you 1 year to launch a basic innovation with little bit change of packaging, price, and so forth. We have ethical dilemmas and privacy challenges that are coming up with AI, where we are not sure, are we using our own data? Are we giving off the confidential information? Will this be used against us or not? So we have both sides, and somehow we need to make peace and we need to make a strategy which is going to incorporate both of the ends. Next slide. So how do we get on board before the train leaves the station and takes us in the unknown direction? Next slide. Well, I know it's a basic of the strategy, but the majority of the companies that I work with, the number one problem is that they come up with an idea, we would like to use AI, but, you know, we are not clear where and how and when. So number one step in this board onboarding process, and I think 50% of the problem which are resolving with AI is realizing, all right, I have the basic strategy knowledge and I have basic technology knowledge. How can I merge these two? Well, number one is definition of what do you want to achieve? Do you want a bigger innovation? Do you want faster processes? Do you want less costs? Do you want to be more productive? Do you want to have disruptive products? Or you want to become more customer-centric? Of course, many of you and many of people come and say, yeah, I want all of this. And I unfortunately have to say, AI is, of course, able to do many things, but sometimes these are contradictory. For example, some companies like to say we would like to reduce costs significantly, but that will affect, of course, the layoffs. So inclusion part and the really taking into consideration how this strategy effect on the complete level is really necessary, and the why behind it is the core of the explanation of setting up your priorities in the AI strategy. Next slide, Ankit. So as I have shown you the lake of what is possible to actually focus on and what are the challenges, the question is, what is your priority? What is your number one challenge? And what is the challenge that if you don't solve today, your cost of inaction is so big that is going to influence your whole organization? Again, from a funnel perspective, you have probably 200 or 300 projects. So how do you take that huge funnel and prioritize the projects that you are going to work specifically on AI and which not? Ankit, next slide. And that comes with the definition of the challenge, setting up the priority. And then the most important part, which many people underestimate, is defining of who you are. Are you a change resistor or change maker? And I know that this conversation can always be a little bit triggering and people feel awkward about it, but the better you know of what kind of leader you are and what kind of the pattern you want to establish in your organization, it will become easier to determine your AI strategy. So if you're a change resistor, you would say usually why we would embrace AI, why we would change. You overthink, you already see the scenarios of AI taking over the world and all the negative, only dark examples. Then you, on the other hand, you have change makers who don't ask why, but ask how we can do it. They're doers and they say, why not? So after we have the clarity of what is the challenge, what is the top priority, what is our profile, the AI now has a possibility. Ankit, the next slide, please. We have a possibility more than ever to create a personalized and adaptable AI strategy with clear KPIs. When I worked in strategy, it would take us several months to actually create the strategy, do the market research, justify it, align it with stakeholders, but we don't have that luxury anymore. And COVID has pointed out why we don't have that luxury. So adapting the AI strategy in a way that is so clear and so sharp and so focused and the KPI driven is the most important skill, a strategic skill that I would say it's even more important than you having an MIT degree in AI and knowing the data analytics behind it. Next slide, Ankit. So for example, what does that mean? If you have a challenge, you have a slow innovation process. It takes you maybe 365 days to launch one single innovation or introduce a course, or I don't know. We can really take different approaches. It is a high priority because it's a big challenge and you have a huge cost of inaction, but you are a change resistor. You don't like risking and you don't like testing these unknown technologies, which sound very weird. So what is the personalized AI approach that today you can ask AI, such as Bard or ChatGPT or ChatSonic? What can I do if this is my challenge, if this is my priority and this is the profile, but I actually want to overcome it in a personalized way? And you will usually get the answer from AI saying, try baby steps. So personalize your environment so that you are taking one simple task that is super not relevant for you and just testing how does that work? How is this decreasing me time needed from 100 days into maybe 30 days? And adapting the approach where you're not going to risk yourself and put yourself in a very uncomfortable situation yet being able to compete. So I know that this sounds very general. When it comes to the strategy, that's the drawback of working in the strategy department and digital transformation. But I reassure you that in the next couple of minutes, we will have Anki talking about specifically on the functional skills. What does that mean when we take these strategic skills? You are prioritizing marketing and you want to reduce the X amount of costs or optimize the content, and how does that look like and what are the possibilities in that sphere? But I will stop here very briefly to check if there are any questions. Any questions in the chat? So please, can you share sources of the slide risk and benefits? Yes, it's all from McKinsey, Gartner, Goldman Sachs, but I will definitely, we will share the one page with all the resources so that we don't make these slides overwhelming at this point of time. Does anyone have any other question related to the strategic part? If not right now, I would happily move to the next part, which is with Ankit, where we will have much more videos and much more interactive content.
Thank you, Atta. So before I begin, I would just like to pick up a couple of things from what Atta said in terms of getting strategy, right? I think for NVIDIA, the company that I work with and represent here, we spend a decent amount of time getting strategy and strategy right, and why we believe we've gotten it right is in the last 2 months, having launched our AI product, the amount of revenue that we have done in 2 months is the amount of revenue we did over the past entire half a decade, I think 5 years. So getting the right product, right time, right place. Of course, it was much more than getting answers from GPT, but I think getting strategy right is paramount importance overall. And I think the other thing that I can share is that we have adopted AI across organization, not just in what we are building, but how we are building it and how we are doing our work on a regular day-to-day basis, right? So just want to leave that thought before I introduce what NVIDIA is and how marketing function within NVIDIA. I look at organic growth and how marketing function within NVIDIA has benefited from the advance of AI in the last couple of years.
In the past few months, computers have gone from writing hip-hop songs to generating cool images.
Programs so advanced.
AI.
Revolutionary AI.
Artificial intelligence.
To even generating video. But wait, that's not a video. It's just a clip. Just one of many. And making a video means...
Today, we'll look into the process of filmmaking, a fairly complex process.
But that has to change. Now... NVIDIA presents text to film. This isn't your basic text pixel. This is your imagination converted to a fully edited video.
The sun breaches the horizon, and Rinzin the monk stands by the sea. A master of meditation, he begins to unleash his powers. And everything changes.
That's right. From an idea to a publish-ready video in just a few seconds. Sign up now and check it out.
So before I begin more about how organic marketing at NVIDIA has been impacted, that's one function that I would want to get more details on. What we've learned over the last few months is that there is an AI for this, that, and everything. In fact, there are about 9,200 tools that have released to affect every aspect of different functions of your job, right? From marketing to sales, supply chain, and every aspect, right? Within that, there are about 2,300 tasks that are impacted, and about 4,800 odd jobs that are definitely impacted more than 50% by AI, right? The source for that is mentioned there. I just picked up the functions that titled or had marketing in its title and has 50% or more impact with AI. You can see that there are several marketing functions that have specifically been impacted with AI, right? So let's understand how it benefited in video in the last year or so. So given I run organic function, and organic is a long-term investment. We have huge budgets for it. Without even sort of blinking an eye, we adapted AI the minute it was out, right? And we were able to get our costs down by 92% within the next month. So how were we able to manage that? What were our costs? How do we get them down? We get a lot of blogs written by agencies and freelancers outside, and we used to spend a decent amount of money on that as a small Series B funded startup. While the money spend was not an issue because we had decent cost of customer acquisition, the turnaround time was a massive issue for us, right? Working in coordinating with a freelancer, getting blogs done from them, getting it right, reiterating it, et cetera, it would take on average 2 days to 3 days even sometimes to get the right blog with the right graphics and images. We would now basically be able to do it in under an hour or a couple of hours at best. Graphics, we would get specialized graphic artists to do that. But now with AI, it's literally instant. So I don't even need to have the coordination with someone else. It's just automatically me having an idea or my team having an idea, getting the graphics out per se. With videos, you just saw our tool is enabling that. It's less than 5 minutes right now if you want to publish videos for organic growth content, right? Or even for our ad SEM department. Copywriting for our website, usually the toughest task because it's not as as long form as blog. Getting the absolute perfect pitch for copy in the least amount of words possible. With AI, we just didn't need to have more additional resources to be able to achieve that, right? Overall, with all these reductions in costs, our traffic went up by 175% and our conversion ratios improved by about 35% because AI could essentially point out areas that we were missing per se, right? So does that mean that can we let AI do everything? Of course not. We don't believe that AI is a replacement. AI is a powerful tool if you know how to use it with the wind on your side. I think you can definitely achieve results that are overwhelmingly good in terms of costs and conversions, right? So like I mentioned earlier, we do use AI and reduce costs at whatever areas possible. So there are two primary themes that we foresee are going to happen with product usage over the course of next few years with AI's impact, right? We've all been used, most of us have been used to seeing Spotlight Search on Mac where put in a text and everything on your computer is just easily accessible. But imagine this across all the products that you use, don't have to remember the UI, the UX, where to do what, which tab to open, et cetera, it's a struggle always, right? So imagine text Spotlight Search for every single product. And those are products that are likely to sort of win ahead of the ones that they're competing with, right? So you probably would have heard of this app. There's an app called Tome.app, which is essentially making good presentations. And it's entirely text-based. You type in what you want in a slide and you'll get a pitch deck or a slide for that particular deck easily ready, right? All of your changes, edits, generations of graphics, all of that is entirely within a few sort of lines of English that you write for it, right? Similarly, if you look at, probably a lot of you have probably heard about Notion, used it to effect in various places, but it integrated AI within its workflow. And I've been using Notion ever since it was launched. This particular sort of feature of it completely changed the game of how we use Notion for a lot of people who were not able to understand how to use Notion.
Right. One down, two to go. Gaining momentum here.
These are a couple of examples. Like I said, there are about 9,000 plus tools that either have used AI in their existing product or have launched new products altogether, completely innovating how people use and consume products. Adobe, another one for photo editing, just generative stuff. All of that is happening purely based on text-based editing. So the product understands what you naturally want to say and tries to sort of get more stuff done easily. Of course, it's a popular meme. And if you want to imagine what more can you do with that meme, easy peasy, right? No need to find someone who's learned Photoshop over the years, spend decent amount of time and energy on it. With due respect, now it's possible with text altogether, right? Is exactly the kind of principle we incorporated while building InVideo AI. We want to just let you create your video idea, whatever be it you launching a product for a certain category, a new product, you want to make an ad for it, you want to test out a YouTube tutorial, or you want to make some video for internal consumption between your team, maybe a explainer video, etc. Put that prompt in, make an edit based on text, and the video should be ready, right? That's more or less.
What if all you need to create a video is an idea?
Like a giant bubble wrap suit and roll into the black hole and explore your own private planet.
A giant bubble wrap suit, you'll see, will protect you from gravity's drain. Just pop some bubbles and you'll be right. No need to worry. It's a funny sight. Imagine waking up to the sound of space-time being distorted each day. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
So with that, I think I can safely end the session to ask for questions if there are any.
Thank you so much, Ankit. I wish I had all of these tools 10 years ago when we had to do all the slides, decks, presentations, product pack demos, absolutely everything. Brief the agencies with 10 pages, how to make it happen. So... this makes life much easier. And this is just the example in the marketing department, because obviously we really don't have time to go through all of the departments today. Nadia will be speaking for HR specifically. But I think if we look at the McKinsey research, the highest impacted department right now is marketing and sales. Very simply, now products and services that are being used in smaller startups, if they're able to embrace this technology at a very fast pace, then obviously competing with corporates becomes much easier. And that's the same reason why corporates or traditional education or NGOs can think about participating in this competition, if we can call it that way. I see there are many questions in the chat, but not in Q&A section. So I would really ask you nicely to just copy paste your question into this Q&A box, and I will read them one by one. Ankit, they are asking, what's the source of organic marketing metric? Is that InVideo source that you have been referring to?
That's correct. Those are costs that are internal to InVideo. I'll take you back to the slide where I had actually listed the costs down.
And they're also asking if you can tell a little bit more about cost model for Tome and Notion.
Perfect. I'll address that. So this is typically what we used to spend on blogs every month. We would get about 10 to 12 blogs written. Our blogs have pretty high authority on Google, and they would rank almost instantly after getting it getting written by expert authors. And that's why we would pay a decent amount of money to them. But post AI being mainstream, we just don't need to spend that amount of money anymore and get the same result. That's essentially why we've been able to reduce costs that drastically. Video editing, of course, we're an app, but there are certain ads that you would want to create from an agency which are more professional in nature, would end up spending roughly $7,000-$7,500 on a video. Now we don't end up spending anything. This $250 a month is generally just a subscription fee we pay ourselves effectively. So graphics, it's usually $50 a good graphic. Now it's actually hard to estimate what's the real cost because we just pay for one subscription and we end up generating decent amount of graphics from that, right? So I just put $1 as a notional amount over there. Copywriting, we would pay a copywriter approximately that much. We still have use in terms of reviewing good copy and polishing it, but that's not as expensive as what getting somebody full time on that would be, right? So that's the source of these are costs internal to InVideo. What I can say with confidence is we are not the only company going through these motions of reducing costs drastically. Within our peer network of companies that are in the SaaS space, in AI product space, we see this as a concurrent trend, and the numbers may not be maybe 5 to 10% points here and there, but they not be very different from this.
Thank you.
Does that answer the question?
Thank you so much. We have additional question in Q&A box. Can you buy one AI just for your company and in this way assure confidentiality of the info you're uploading and the outcome?
It's a gray area right now. It depends on the sensitivity of the information you are. I would say if it's ultra sensitive, I would not be so comfortable with it right now. But if it is not too sensitive, if it's not very, very top secret documents, I would not be using AI tools for that at this point in time. It's very hard to say. No one has seen them getting leaked to public as of yet, but until that event happens or until there is enough evidence to assure that event's not going to happen, I would stay away from doing that. Sorry, I missed a question around models of Tome and Notion. Those are publicly available tools. I do not, I just subscribe to them privately. I don't know, they probably cost between $20, $50 a month, something around that.
Yes, thanks a lot, Ankit. I would also like to say the power of corporates versus startups and other smaller organizations is, let's be real, corporates have money. So having money allows to actually make partnership with extraordinary AI startups or pioneers in this space, personalize AI tools, availability, information, privacy, and everything else within the organization, and then make sure that that is actually very clear what data you're using, for which purposes, who is the owner, and what is the risk element behind it. Of course, before getting onto that complicated story of where your organization partners with the others, I would highly encourage you first in your personal life to test these tools, regardless of involvement with companies, and see how it works, where it adds the value in your life, and then come with a strategic approach. We have this challenge. The risk of inaction is X amount. We can solve it with these tools. How about we have a conversation with all of them, partner, and see what they can offer and collaborate with us? Because it's a really tough competition out there. So being smart about it is really super recommended. I know that we have lots of questions again in chat, not Q&A. But for now, we will move to Nadia, and then for the last 10 minutes, we will address the rest of the questions.
Okay, thank you very much. So the AI-powered workplace, thank you so much, Arta and Ankit, for filling our audience into an AI workplace. Now, what I will talk about is how do we make it work in an innovative workplace? How do we make it future-proof? We become faster and smarter and also human-centric, because now everything that you've said kind of refers to tons of articles that we see online, which are all about, will AI steal my job? So how many of you here are scared about your teams, maybe about yourself, maybe about your company? What is going to happen? Next slide, please. And what I want to tell you is that change is inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. And I know that you, Arta, mentioned being change resistant or being change makers. Well, the thing is that when we look at it from an economic concept, which is called creative distraction, we will know that we can't escape change. It happens all the time. We are undergoing it on a daily basis. Maybe we don't even see it, but it's happening constantly. So I strongly encourage you to dig into the theory that was identified by Joseph Schumpeter in 1942. So it tells us precisely that new ways of doing things constantly replace old ways of doing things. And I'm mentioning this because I come across many people who tell me, well, but it's good the way it was, right? Why should we start something new? It's working. We have all our processes in terms of people already designed. I always like talking about it from an HR perspective that when we look at performance reviews, annual performance reviews that are so wildly spread, I'm like, well, go please and check that they actually come after the Second World War and they were implemented by the military first and then taken over by corporations. And I always say, look at it step by step. How do we have our employment laws that they're also 100 years old? They also come from the industrial era. So now we are in a moment with AI, with the digital workplace, really, really kicking in. And although even if we want it or not, it's happening. So we either jump on this train together and we make it work and also help our people embrace this new environment, or in the end of the day, we are going to be in trouble. No threats. Next slide, please. Okay, and so to tell you what's happening, maybe this is a big, I would say, this is actually something big to show you how the transition is happening. If you're going to ask me for the source, I can tell you already that this is a research, a study, very popular one done by the economist David Autor. You can Google it if you're interested in it to see the details. So basically, 100 years ago, 60% of today's jobs didn't exist. Okay. Did you feel it yourself, right? Since you started working? Not really. It's an evolution that is happening. Okay. So although we know that so many jobs will be replaced by AI or will completely disappear, there are new jobs coming as well. So now the question is, in our human-centric workplace, how do we make sure that we actually don't compete with AI that is much faster and solves things in no time, where we don't really add much value to it, but how do we upskill and reskill our people to make sure that our workplaces are really future-proof? And one very interesting thing that I would like to mention right now, give it a thought, please, it's that AI doesn't need a workplace, you know? It just gets things done immediately, like you've seen within the past few insights here shared by Arta and Ankit. So I also want to touch on distributed work and what's happening today, being actually change resistant, saying, yes, we have to go back to all the processes, to the things they were, how people used to work in offices, the exact same way, not being human-centric. And I'm like, well, how does this refer to AI being part of the workplace if we are literally going back, okay? And here we have new jobs coming. It's a big clash, right? So instead of focusing on how to make our people ready to drive this change, we go backwards in workplace design, but then we are scared of what AI is going to do with us, okay? So there's a big clash. So let me tell you how to do this right. Next slide, please. And here, like a mini agenda to kind of tell you what I will be talking about today. Productivity matters most. So how do we define productivity? Like, what is it? Is productivity just sitting and working and tracking some things, or is it something else? Building a human-centric workplace. So how do we do it? How do we leverage the potential of people in the future? Because in the end of the day, we talk so much about company culture. We now also see within the past few years how important, and also for younger generations, it is to feel a connection to the workplace. So what they do, it has to make sense, right? And then we see that AI is faster than us, okay? So if we start doing the same thing, well, we may get replaced. And then innovative workplace design. So what's this innovation? How do we make it happen? And also, what are the examples that I use within the companies that I also work with? And three action steps you can implement today, because I know it sounds like a huge process, but there are actually things that you can start today or even tomorrow, step by step. Next slide, please. Thank you. So when we look at productivity, there's one thing I really want to stress, and this is proximity bias. I don't know if you know what proximity bias is, but this is something we all have. And although I have worked, I would say, all around the world and also in a remote setup, I am also part of, I also experience proximity bias. This is a feeling, it's a situation that we tend to favor things that we can see, touch, feel, right? Because they're close to us. And so we have it because thousands and thousands of years ago, when we lived in tribes, being next to other people meant that we are actually going to survive. If we were alone, we would die, right? So we all have it. So now this is the confusion that we see with today with productivity. So we look at AI, we know that it does things super quickly, okay? But then we kind of feel, well, but we need to see the people. We need to see the people, how they work, okay? And then when we, again, talk about the clash, we start implementing this tracking software, tracking mouse moves, or saying, oh, we actually have to see the people in the office when they clog in and clog out. But then again, we have AI that does things faster, right? So we have to be aware of what proximity bias is and whether this is a false KPI that we may be implementing in our workplace. So how to do this right? Always think about the big picture. And this is also from a strategic perspective. What are the goals? What are the outputs? What's the clear metric each and every single time, okay? Because when we talk about AI, we ask it a certain question. We know what we want to have in the end of the day. But now let's take a look at people, okay? What's our end result? How do they contribute to the mission, the vision, to the company? And how will they be using AI to be more productive, okay? So how can we redesign the goals, the outputs, and the metrics, knowing that we are going to implement AI tools? And I'll tell you more about it in a second. And then obviously think about it in terms of the working experience. There's really interesting research and data on the market. Literally just Google it and you'll find out about all the software that I'm sure all of you are using. And the funny thing is that this is actually AI as well, right? What we are talking about today in this webinar is generative AI. But let's take a look at accountants, okay? Can you imagine working with a pen and paper and counting everything manually? No, you have software that's smarter than you. Has it stolen your job? No, you learned how to use it, okay? So imagine how this has actually helped us be happier at work. And there are tons of surveys and tons of research showing that all the software and all the implementation that happened in various tools across companies actually help people to do their job better. And this is what we're talking about here. And then when we take a look at the concept of smart working, which means that performance always comes first, instead of sitting in a physical sometimes place and thinking, oh, how much time do I have until the end of the day? Again, what's the metric? What's the goal? What's the output? How much time is it going to take me? How can AI help me decrease this time? Next slide, please. Okay, and a human-centric workplace. So we want to be inclusive. We know that this is super, super, super important, okay? So actually, when we eliminate the issue of proximity bias and we start focusing on goals, output, and metrics, we will become more inclusive, right? Because everyone is going to have a chance to work in such an environment and actually benefit from AI to help in all these areas where human beings are just slower. And then take a look at it from that perspective that AI can also help us with project management in general. There were tons of tools that were mentioned here also by Ankit. And I want to say that, for example, Notion is also a tool that I use on a daily basis. Maybe a few examples. So me working a lot in HR, also within my role, I use AI to analyze all the data. Let me tell you this, experience surveys. Sometimes I have hundreds of people sharing their responses. If I had to do all this manually, I don't do that, right? I take AI, it analyzes, it spits out all the data, it analyzes it and tells me, oh, the tendency looks like this, the tendency looks like that. And then in no time, it really becomes my assistant. I have all the metrics, I take them, and then I go to the board and I say, well, here, this is the data, this is the analysis, this is my approach, this is what I think we could do because we're still growing the company. And that's the way it should be done. It would have taken me so much time to analyze everything manually. Take a look at meetings, for example. Also, remote meetings, virtual meetings, Teams, Zoom, whatever. How much time we always spend in it. It's still a problem these days. It's still a problem that meetings are inefficient. And again, there are tools, one of it, but I'm not going to recommend you like this one specifically. Maybe have different ones. It's actually becoming more and more GDPR compliant. By the way, feel free to check out a study by the European EU Parliament about GDPR and AI and what the approach is in general, because this is improving. So there is, for example, a tool which is called Supernormal, and it helps you really with smart transcriptions, action steps with all your virtual meetings, and it really decreases time. And I think that is really amazing because it helps us to leverage the output again. And it helps us predict timelines and profitability in the end of the day, right? It does so many things for us. So we can really focus as human beings on what is meaningful, okay? Next slide, please. All right. So now, innovative workplace design, okay? There are tools on the market, also from an HR perspective, also from a company perspective. We talk about project management. We talk about a single source of truth, so a knowledge base where everybody has access. We talk about tools that help us work better, also in a distributed environment, that track our goals, track our outputs, track the metrics. They analyze, they are able to predict how much time it's going to take the team, how to switch one person maybe to another team when we even talk about career paths, transitions, everything. So in the end of the day, and that's also the example that Ankit showed with Notion, it can create better documentation, okay? So think about optimizing onboarding processes, for example. Don't do everything manually. AI is really there to help you. Everything that is repetitive. I once had a conversation with a manager and he told me that they're onboarding about 20, 30 people every month and he doesn't have time for that. And I'm like, well, how much stuff are you repeating over and over and over again? And I'm like, why do you do that? If all this can be optimized, so it can automate our processes, everything that is repetitive, then it can analyze the data. It can show us and tell us what the tendency is in the company. And in the end of the day, this is how we become more productive. So this is how AI can do the job. Next slide, please. All right. And three action steps you can implement today. I know that Arta and Ankit, you both said that. Test and measure, check, start small, okay? Think about even in the HR area, in the people area, one thing, one process, one AI tool, okay? If you're scared about data confidentiality, take a look at it. I mean, I sometimes when I use different tools, obviously I take out everything that is very sensitive, the name of the company, the names of the people. That is fine, but I don't need it there, right? I really just need all the calculations and everything. So check it. Start with a process that you really have the time to find and test. Assign an AI savvy team. I'm sure that there are people within your team who would really love to do that and see and test. Track performance of it. Assign qualitative and quantitative data to know what the essence is going to be, how it really adds value. Make a business case out of it, okay? Only then you can present it to others and really show whether it makes sense or not. And then implement the most productive distributed workplace design. As I've said, AI is workplace-less, okay? It doesn't need a workplace. So now think about how the people work and how the goals of the people can work smoothly with AI to really make it work in the future of work. And then in the end of the day, the most important thing, remember, we are people. We need to be trained to embrace AI. Some are more tech savvy, others are not. But still, when we go back to the beginning of my presentation, you will know that the only constant is change. Next slide, and that is all from me. Thank you very much. This is a QR code to my LinkedIn profile if you're interested more in this topic. I share content about it regularly, so let's talk. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nadia. And it feels that these sessions are always too short, like 1 hour flew so fast. So we have just a couple of minutes. Perhaps, Natalie, what I would suggest is to just put the survey of today's webinar, and in the meantime, we are addressing now your questions. Natalie, would that be possible?
Yes, of course.
Great. So Natalie will just share four questions. Please give the feedback to the pool, and I'm going to address a couple of questions that I see. So Nadia, which AI tool are you using for HR management?
Yes. So in terms of analyzing data, so what I do right now is I work with different companies, so I have different HR tools. And then when I have the information shared by the people, I export the files usually, and then I choose a tool that I need to help me analyze the data. So as you have also said, sometimes it's either ChatGPT, sometimes Bard, sometimes ChatSonic. This is what I do. But me from an HR perspective, I also rely heavily on productivity. So as I've mentioned, for example, making sure whether our virtual meetings are fully optimized, that the people are very productive and how they can grow in the company. Those are also tools that I use for meetings, like as I've mentioned before, Supernormal, to tell me the action steps, the goals, to really see whether people are working and how. And in addition to that, the tools that I use as a database, for as a knowledge base, maybe as a knowledge base for all HR processes, I do use Notion a lot, and there it really helps me create the entire employee journey and all the documentation. As an example, there are more.
Thanks a lot. The next question that we can perhaps answer, what's the surname of Nadia? It's Harris. And we are going to send our LinkedIn links in the post communication afterwards. We have a question, how we can make sure we are not breaching privacy if AI uses images and videos from the web. How can we protect our company and own these final images created? I'm just going to give a short answer, and then maybe Ankit can add up to it. So if you create your own, you can create your own pictures through DALL-E, Midjourney, and different tools, which is your creation, your imagination, and your IP. But Ankit, do you want to address this one for in video specifically?
Sure. So NVIDIA uses stock images. Essentially, we do not generate a new image like DALL-E or Midjourney, which is where we got our strategy spot on. We're not creating stuff that doesn't exist, so to say. So all the videos that you saw, these are all images and footages that are actually already existing. And then we created from them. We did not create new art over there. Now with stock, the way it works is if you NVIDIA licenses stock from stock, and once you export, you get the license to it. So you own the copyright to all the content that you've produced out of NVIDIA.
Perfect. And I see lots of questions that we didn't have a chance to respond, but perhaps just to take one overview of several departments that we have been asked here, from sales and supply chain and everything else. So the logic is the same. If AI in HR is taking the data and analyzing and optimizing everything like a superstar, data analytics 24/7, it is the same case with supply chain and sales. For example, right now in sales, you can't make a difference if you're speaking to a sales agent or a real person. There is no difference. The tools are so advanced that people don't know the difference. And the probably is that you will never find out, because the AI is now able to replicate your voice, your presence, and everything else to huge quality. For supply chain, imagine, I know in traditional corporates, the way of sourcing the supply chain and finding them and having the match in the goals and features and resources, it's really costly and long process. Now imagine if they just sign up through an Excel sheet with the basics, and then AI matches you with the supply chain and partners and suggests or who you should collaborate with, which goals are actually the same, and so forth. So it is the kind of a little bit unbelievable to think about it, but even the basic chatbots. So right now we can make a chatbot in 2 minutes that will analyze all your websites and be trained on your data. And if I ask any question from that website, it's going to give me an answer instantly. And you can take all of your databases, all your PDFs, all presentations, or documents that you have ever generated and create a chatbot out of it. And I can ask as a new person that I'm coming into your company and say, can you please tell me what this company did over the last 10 years, summarize it into 10 points, and it's going to give me. And this is what I do personally in when consulting corporates, because it's impossible to go through a huge amount of data and to finally know what are the outcomes over the past 5 to 10 years and what needs to be changed. So with that, I would love to take more questions, but we have reached the end of the session and 60 minutes have gone really fast. Thank you so much for all the questions and engagement levels. To those that have responded to survey, please do. Thank you so much. And to those that did not respond, please take 30 seconds to respond. It would really mean a lot to us. If you have any questions, you can reach to us directly on LinkedIn. And we are going to definitely address all the questions additionally in the post-event follow-up. Thank you so much. And yeah, we can stop the recording with Natalie.